What's the typical clinical presentation of a patient with a FLT3 mutation?
High white count, monocytic type leukemia. Those would be the, it's not exclusive in that subgroup, but that's a typical presentation. Yeah.
And can you talk about right now what clinical research is out there to help guide management of these patients and how you do manage them?
Right. So there's really two major randomized trials that have informed our use of clinically available FLT3 inhibitors. And there's a lot of other ones that help a little bit, but the two big ones were the ADMIRAL trial, which I just mentioned, which is the newer one, that was comparing gilteritinib to whatever the doctor wanted to do in terms of chemotherapy when their FLT3 mutant patient relapsed. And that was for both types of mutations, both the ITD and the TKD. And that showed that gilteritinib as a single agent led to a less likelihood of dying if you were on that arm compared to chemotherapy. Most of the patients had strong chemotherapy. About a quarter of the patients in the control arm had either azacitidine or low-dose ARC. So again, gilteritinib is approved for relapsed refractory mutant FLT3 ML. The problem with that trial, the two problems with it, is a wonderful trial, but the problems with it, number one, very few of the patients had been treated with a FLT3 inhibitor up front, and I'll get to that. And two is the long-term results are terrible. You're still gonna die. So we need better therapies. The other trial was the so-called CLGB-10603 or RATIFY trial, which was sponsored in the US by the government. And that was a trial that looked at 3 and 7 with or without midostaurin. You got midostaurin with your consolidation with high-dose ARC. And you also got midostaurin in maintenance, which was a new feature. And that showed a reduction in the risk of dying with the use of midostaurin, so that was approved. Even though the trial was only done in ages 18 to 60, the FDA approved the drug in any age patient who was deemed fit for chemotherapy that had a FLT3 mutation. Interestingly, the FDA did not approve the drug to be used in the maintenance setting after all the chemotherapy was done, but the European Medical Association did. And that has to do with the fact that the trial did not have a second randomization after the consolidation chemotherapy was all done. When I went to the FDA, I think it was early 2000s, talking to them about this trial, they said, you should do a 2x2 design to figure out whether people really need it in maintenance. So we didn't do that, despite that good advice, because we didn't think that was feasible. We viewed it as a package. So in the trial, you know, people could get it during induction, consolidation, and maintenance. We didn't double randomize them. The EMA thought the package was the package, and the FDA said that you couldn't show any independent benefit of midostaurin and maintenance. As it turns out, it's really a different question now, because most people believe, including me, that almost every FLT3 mutant patient should have a transplant in first remission, if possible, to have the best results. Kind of like the midostaurin and chemo gives them a deep remission, which you can then capitalize upon with a transplant.